Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the sixth chapter, chapter 9, verse number 42. So we could do the word meanings. Atta, therefore, Bhagavan, O Lord, Tava, of you, Asmabhi, by us, Akila, all, Jagat, of the material world, Utpati, of the creation, Stiti, maintenance, Laya, and annihilation, Nimittayamana, being the cause, Divyamaya, with the spiritual energy. Vinodasya, of you who amuse yourself. Sakala, all. Jiva Nikayanam, of the hordes of living entities. Antaridayesu, in the cores of the hearts. Bahiyapi, externally also. Cha, and Brahma, of impersonal Brahman, or the absolute truth. Pratyakatma, of the supersoul. Swarupena, by your forms. Pradana rupena, by your forms as the external ingredients. Cha, also. Yata, according to. Deshakala deha avastana, of country, time, body, and position. Visesham, the particulars. Tat, of them. Upadana, of the material causes. Upalambakataya, by being the exhibitor. Anubhavataha, witnessing. Sarvapratyaya sakshinaha, the witness of all different activities. Akasa sarirasya, the supersoul of the whole universe. Saksad, directly. Parabrahmana, the supreme absolute truth. Paramatmanaha, the supersoul. Kiyan, of what extent. Iha, herein. Va, or. Artha visesha, special necessity. Vignapaniya, to be informed. Shat, maybe. Vishpulinga aribi, by the sparks of fire. Eva, like. Hiranyaretasaha, to the original fire. Great, so we got to chant the verse a little bit. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, as the small sparks of a fire cannot possibly perform the actions of the whole fire, we sparks of your Lordship cannot inform you of the necessities of our lives. You are the complete whole. Therefore, of what do we need to inform you? You know everything because you are the original cause of the cosmic manifestation, the maintainer and the annihilator of the entire universal creation. You always engage in your pastimes with your spiritual and material energies, for you are the controller of all these varied energies. You exist within all living entities, within the cosmic manifestation, and also beyond them. You exist internally as Param Brahman, and externally as the ingredients of the material creation. Therefore, although manifested in various stages, at different times and places, and in various bodies, you, the personality of Godhead, are the original cause of all causes. Indeed, you are the original element. You are the witness of all activities. But because you are as great as the sky, you are never touched by any of them. You are the witness of everything as Param Brahman and Paramatma. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, nothing is unknown to you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Absolute Truth exists in three phases of spiritual understanding: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti sabjate. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the cause of Brahman and Paramatma. Brahman, the impersonal Absolute Truth, is all-pervading, and Paramatma is locally situated in everyone's heart. But Bhagavan, who is worshipable by the devotees, is the original cause of all causes. A pure devotee is aware that since nothing is unknown to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he need not be informed of a devotee's conveniences and inconveniences. A pure devotee knows that there is no need to ask the Absolute Truth for any material necessities. Therefore, while informing the Supreme Lord about their distress in being attacked by Ritrasura, the demigods apologized for offering prayers for their safety. A neophyte devotee, of course, approaches the Supreme Lord for relief from distress or poverty, or for speculative knowledge of the Lord. Bhagavad Gita 7:16 mentions four kinds of pious men who began devotional service to the Lord. One who is distressed, artha; one in need of money, arthartha; one who is inquisitive, jignasu; and one who is searching for the Absolute Truth, jnani. A pure devotee, however, knows that since the Lord is omnipresent and omniscient, there is no need to offer prayers or worship him for one's personal benefit. A pure devotee always engages in the service of the Lord without demanding anything. The Lord is present everywhere and knows the necessities of his devotees. Consequently, there is no need to disturb him by asking him for material benefits. Om Gyanata Madandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadanti Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Tubhyascha Kripasindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavya Bhyo Namo Namaha. So this is a very wonderful prayer. So basically the demigods are saying, are realizing that there are small sparks of fire, and they cannot possibly understand the whole fire, as an analogy. So they're calling themselves as sparks of their lordship, they can't really inform him of their necessities of life. He's a complete whole, therefore what need is there to inform him? He knows everything, his original cosmic cause, his original cause of the cosmic manifestation, his maintainer and annihilator of the entire universe. He always engages in his pastimes with his spiritual and material energies. He's the controller of all these varied energies. He exists within all living entities, within the cosmic manifestation, and also beyond them. And then he exists internally as Parabrahman and externally as the ingredients of the material creation. Therefore, although manifest in various stages, at different places and times, in various bodies, the personality of Godhead is the original cause of all causes. Indeed, he's the original element. He's the witness of all activities, but because he's as great as the sky, he's never touched by any of these qualities. You are the witness of everything, Parabrahman and Paramatma. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's nothing unknown to you. So they're kind of apologizing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for, you know, we are praying for you for material things, but actually you already know what we need and everything, but because we're a little bit materialistic, we kind of, you know, feel that we need these things. And this is interesting when we're in the relative world, in this world of duality. The definition of relativity means that it's only having a significance only in relation to something else. So we think we're significant if we're related to something else. And that's what happens in the material world. Like, you know, I'm significant because I have certain possessions. That makes me significant. Or I have, you know, great wealth. Or as other people say, you know, my significant other, right? Because I have a partner. I'm very significant. I identify like that. So that's what makes me significant. So this is the identification. So the demigods are thinking, oh, we're significant, you know. We're in controllers here. We're threatened. Our significance is threatened. So therefore, come, please. They come crying and praying to help, get help. Like the child and the parent. You know, it's described in this verse. Krishna knows everything. It's like the parent. He's taken the little child by the hand, and he loves the child. And he knows everything that the child needs. And to the child, that parent is like a god. But sometimes you take the child along, and the parent's taking the child to get some nice food or something that he needs. But on the way, the child's like, you know, he gets distracted by so many different things. You know, we're in a universe of distractions. There's so many things that take our attention. So the child is enamored by the glowing things here and there. And the child identifies with this thing. So he cries out, you know, I want this, I want that. So the parent knows best. And sometimes she will not give him that. What's not good for him. You know, if the child asks for poison, you know, the parent knows that it's not good for the child. Even though the child wants it, will the parent give it to the child? No. So poison is described as this material world of repeated birth and death. So the more we are attracted to the things here, and we think we're significant because we have things of the material energy, then to that degree, we will constantly be in illusion, we'll be in misery, we'll be suffering. Because what's happening, we're not identifying with who we really are. You know, in the absolute realm, there's no difference between the knower and the known. As described, we'll further read, you know, in these purports, that in the absolute realm, there's no difference between what we, you know, that the person, like we see, there's a difference between what I see. I see my body. I see these things. But they're different than who I really am. But because of being covered over in this relative world, we think, oh, I'm these things. And because we know, we find out it's temporary, it's illusory, it causes pain, then we cry and we think, oh, there must be something more. Please help me. So these are demigods now. They're like children crying to their parent. you know, please help us. And it's interesting in this particular purport, Prabhupada brings two verses together from the first canto, that verse, Vedanti tat tatva vidas, tatvam yajnanam adhyayam, brahmeti paramatmeti, bhagavan iti sabjate. So he's quoting this particular verse from the first canto. And it's very interesting how Prabhupada kind of ties in this verse along with the Bhagavad Gita verse, the one of the four different types of personalities that surrender to Krishna. So here's the vision that someone may have of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's pious living entities, if they're pious, they're not rascals, they're not discretinos, you know, all they desire is material benefits. But those who are pious, you know, they actually surrender to Krishna in four different ways. But before that, Prabhupada's describing how the absolute truth is both subject and object. There's no qualitative difference. Here we see there's difference. So these differences, there's Brahman, there's Paramatma, there's Bhagavan. There's actually no difference. They're qualitatively one and the same. But depending on the student's visions, you know, the students of the Upanishads, they'll see the impersonal Brahman. That's all they'll be able to realize. And then the yogis, they will realize the Paramatma, one within the heart, or everywhere. But for the devotees, Bhagavan, they see him as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, the last word of the absolute truth. You see? But sometimes the less intelligent students, they argue and they think, oh, Brahman is the real thing. That's it. I have the real thing. You know, they argue in respect to their own realizations. But those who are perfect seers, they actually know that above these three features is the absolute truth. You see, so these things are there just according to our different angles of vision. So, as described, there's no difference between the energetic and the energy, you know, and as described here, but there's a difference in quality of energies. And this material world is considered to be inferior energy. And when we become in contact with this energy, this inferior energy, then we're illusion thinking that this belongs or we belong to this inferior energy. You see? So in the absolute world, there's no sense of difference between the knower and the known, and therefore everything is absolute. So Prabhupada comes to this other verse, the Chaturvidha Bhajati Mam. Jana Sukritino Arjuna, Arto Jignashur Artarti, Gyanachar Bharatarshaba. O best among the Bhartas, four kinds of pious men began to render devotional service unto me, the distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and those who are searching for absolute knowledge. So these are unlike the miscreants. They actually adhere to certain regulated principles of the scriptures. They're called Sukritina. They kind of obey these regulations of the scriptures, the moral laws, and they're more or less devoted to the Supreme Lord. So all these, there's four classes of men. They're inquisitive, they're distressed, they're in need of something, you know, like that. But they're considered to be not pure devotees because they have some desire to fulfill in exchange for their devotional service. And that devotional service, pure devotional service, is described as anya bilasita sunyam, jnana karmadi anavritam, anukulyena krishnanu, silam bhaktir uttama, that one should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. But what's nice about these four classes of men, when they do come in contact with devotional service and in association with pure devotees, they become purified. And they begin to get develop intelligence so they can understand that they're different from these possessions, from these identifying elements of the material world. You see, and then they understand what the real goal is. But those who are busy with these fruitive activities, you know, in the mature world, they'll eventually become distressed, you see, and then they'll surrender to Krishna. And this is what's happening with the demigods. Krishna put them in a distressful condition. Sometimes he'll take everything away from them just so that they can approach him and pray. And hopefully they'll pray for pure devotional service. But still, the demigods, they're still praying for something material, that their significance be protected as demigods from this great demon. You see? So that's what was happening. They were utterly helpless. So they approached Krishna crying, you know, and admitting, you know, that we've forgotten our pure devotional service, and, you know, we surrender, and, you know, please protect us. We're under your control. You know everything. You can do everything. You know, they're just utterly helpless. And this is real surrender, you know, which Amala talked about in his classes. And it's nice. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this surrender. And there's a nice prayer where he sings, Mara bhai rakha bhai yo icha tohara. O Lord, I fully surrender unto your lotus feet. Now, as you desire, you may protect me or annihilate me. You have full right to do either. So there's those nice prayers, how that one nice song that Bhakti Chuma Maharaj was singing to us from the Sagargaha Vaishnava. And there's some nice, a lot of nice verses there. But here again, it's like the childish play. He says, why then is childish play in that which cannot be our own? So we're playing in the mature world like the child trying to own something. And if I own this, I'll be significant. So why then is childish play in that which cannot be our own, which falls within 100 years as if a rose had blown? So it's like this 100 years is like so insignificant compared to like the eternal absolute truth and what our real position is, and, you know, as servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with a position in the spiritual world. And there's all throughout the Bhagavatam, we have so many examples of devotees and kings and going through these different stages. There's Dhruva Maharaj. He was like the demanding child. He wanted to get a kingdom greater than his grandfather, Lord Brahma, you see. But when he finally was, you know, revealed to him, the Supreme Personality of God revealed himself to him, then he realized, wow, this is, you know, what more do I need? This is it, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, so this is described, these devotees become like kripana. They're always just attached to these things here. They hang on to things like that. But then we have the other devotees like Prahlad Maharaj and Bhaktivinoda Thakur that we just read a couple of verses from him. And Prahlad Maharaj was like the dependent child. He just completely depends on the mother and the parent. You know, no matter what the parent does, he's completely has faith like that. And that's like the brahmanas. They're completely in love with Krishna. And look at Prahlad Maharaj, how he was tested so much to depend on his love, his Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, he was thrown off a cliff. And he was tested on the way down. He was still thinking of Krishna. You think, you know, why was he like not protected? Why was he protected from being thrown off the cliff? Instead of like, you know, being thrown off the cliff and then catching him at the last minute. Ah, it's like still praying and praying, and then finally you get caught. So this is Krishna. He's testing us in some ways. We're like falling and falling. Ah, but Krishna's just waiting to make sure that you're just attached to him. If you're just attached to Krishna, no matter what difficult position you're in, then Krishna will be there to protect you, catch you. And this is the faith and the dependence that Prahlad Maharaj had on Krishna. Like that. And this should be the brahmana's position. They should be like that. Totally dependent on Krishna. So Krishna is very pleased by their prayers. He actually appears to them. And he's very pleased. And he says that you have offered such wonderful prayers full of knowledge. And this praying is the source of devotion to me. Like that. So Krishna, he's known as Uttama Sloka. He's praised with selected verses. And if we chant these prayers from all the devotees, pure devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, and eventually like Dhruva Maharaj, we can actually, that could be, you know, the source of our devotional service. So this is nice. So Krishna is very pleased by that, by their devotional prayers. And according to their realizations, different devotees will offer certain prayers. Like we talked about the impersonalists. There's the three aspects of Krishna. The impersonalists, they'll kind of offer some kind of prayers, but it's like his nameless, right? They indirectly say, or they say like, you're this or you're that, but they never say who he actually is. They're not directed towards the Supreme Person. You see, so it's incomplete knowledge. So you have to have complete knowledge when you offer prayers to Krishna. Like the devotees, they offer prayers, Govindam, Adipusham, Tamaham Bhajami. So if we offer prayers like that, then we can become eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna explains to them how, you know, it's true that there's nothing will be difficult for one to obtain if he pleases me. You know, if your mind is completely fixed on me, you see, and don't ask from me except devotional service. So he's explaining to them that this is kind of indirectly telling them you should have prayed for another devotional service, but they're not. But he's kind of hinting that they should have prayed for this devotional service. So he's kind of, you know, regretting that they didn't ask for that pure devotional service, but they wanted some material profit to kill Vritasura. So again, Krishna explains to them how, you know, kind of says this difference between brahmanas and kripanas, that, you know, the kripanas, they don't really know their real interest. They don't know the goal of life. They're completely on the bodily concept of life. You know, they're attracted to material things like that. But the brahmanas, they always desire spiritual benefits. They're very intelligent. And this is Krishna revealing to them this intelligence from within through these wonderful prayers, through the Bhagavatam, and with the association with devotees. So again, Krishna is supremely intelligent. And if a foolish person asks Krishna for something that's material, Krishna being very intelligent, you know, he desires the best for his devotee, you know, his servant, then he will sometimes not give that, or sometimes he'll take everything away from his, like he did with the demigods, he took everything away from them, and then they completely surrender to him. There's a nice verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Krishna says that, Ami Vigya E murke visaya kene diba swa charanamrita diya visaya bulaiba. Since I'm very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. So this is Krishna, the most intelligent. So Krishna, of course, is giving everything. You know, he may provide things, but he'll provide things in such a way that you'll become purified. Or after you're purified, then he'll give you everything so that you can use everything in Krishna's service like that. So the analogy also that's used is like a physician. If the physician, you know, knows that a particular patient can't eat certain foods, if that patient wants these foods, the patient doesn't give him those, the doctor doesn't give him these foods. So in the same way, you know, we are diseased in the material world, but yet sometimes we're asking for the things that are actually causing our disease and making our disease worse. So sometimes the patient has to starve or he has to perform great sacrifices and austerities just to become pure. So we're very fortunate that in this particular age, we have a particular sacrifice, particular austerities, you know, things that we can do to become purified and become healthy. And that's the diet that we have, is Krishna Prasadam. That's the special diet we're on. And the medicine is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then we get some of that real intelligence, medasam, medasaham. And otherwise, Krishna says, one who doesn't engage in devotional service, he's considered a fool and with a small quantity of brain substance. So by engaging in the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, broadcasting the glories of Krishna, the holy names, through great festivals like Rath Yatra, things like this, we actually get this great mercy of intelligence so we can engage in Krishna service and also purifying others. So thank you for your kind attention. Maybe there's some comments or questions, realizations. Jai. Thank you very much. Did you? No? Okay. All right, thank you. I'll go to Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai, thank you.
Nice quotes.
Hare Krishna, thank you. It's from Bhagavatam.
Remind me what I should be doing.
Hare Krishna.
That's just, I should not be praying.
Oh, yeah. 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 Thank you for being there so attentive. Really alert. Focus. Jai Krishna.